Today we will consider the different approaches to martyrdom in the Ashkenazi and Sephardi cultures. And specifically, I want to ask the question, if someone kills themselves rather than submit to committing idolatry, are they a hero or are they a sinner? So if you begin with the Rambam and the Sephardi culture, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perek Hey Halacha Aleph writes very clearly that there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and the Torah says, though, V'chai Bohem, that you should, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, there's a mitzvah of V'nikdashi B'soch B'nei Yisov V'los Chalu Shem Kachi, not engage in Achil Hashem, but the Torah says V'chai Bohem. So what is V'chai Bohem? That if a non-Jew comes and he forces a Jew to violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, he says, puts a gun to his head and he says, violate Shabbos, I'm going to kill you, you should violate Shabbos, not be killed, because the Torah says V'chai Bohem. V'chai Bohem V'lo Shem Muspem. Live and don't die. And the Rambam writes, V'meis V'lo Avar Harezim Mischai Ben Avsho. And if you decide to give up your life rather than, let's say, violate Shabbos, you are held liable. That's a bad thing. You must sin rather than be killed. And the Rambam goes on to say, well, there are some exceptions, that if someone puts a gun to your head and says, commit one of the three cardinal sins of murder, idolatry, or sexual infidelity, so in these situations, you should rather be killed rather than commit one of these sins. Additionally, any sin, if someone forces you to commit a sin in public, so also you're supposed to give up your life rather than commit a sin in public, and also times of shasa shmat and times of religious persecution, also give up your life rather than submit to violating any sin in a time of religious persecution. But from our purposes, the Rambam holds that if it's not one of the three cardinal sins and it's not a time of religious persecution and it's not in public, then you should commit the sin, and because of the pasuk of V'chai Bohem. You know, in the 1140s, the Jews of Spain were stripped of religious freedom when the Almohads, a fanatical Muslim sect, came to power. In 1146 in Morocco, the government gave Jews and Christians an ultimatum of conversion to Islam or death. The Jewish community pleaded with the government to be spared from this decree, and a compromise was made. They were granted the option to flee the country. In 1148, the Almohads conquered southern Spain and forced Jews to convert or flee. Now, most Jews did not leave, and they were forced to accept Islam. And they justified their acceptance of Islam by the basis that belief in Islam does not fundamentally contradict Jewish belief, since they both believe in the oneness of God, and they thought this would be temporary. Additionally, conversion to Islam only warranted verbal acceptance, declaring belief in Allah and Muhammad as prophet. It had no bearing on their practical lives. Even though they were forced to attend prayers in a mosque and study the Quran, the government allowed Jewish practice at home. Meanwhile, a rabbi living outside Spain wrote a letter condemning the Spanish Jewish community for converting to Islam. The letter was written in response to a question by a secret Spanish Jew on the status of forced Jewish converts to Islam. The rabbi wrote that belief in Islam and its teaching is idolatry, and therefore a Jew who is forced to convert to Islam must give up his life rather than convert. And failure to do so renders the person an apostate, even if he secretly practices Judaism at home. Additionally, if one enters a mosque, even without praying, he is an apostate. In response to this letter, many Spanish Jews felt that in any event, they are condemned, and they might as well abandon Judaism altogether instead of living a life of duplicity. To counter this letter, the Rambam, who was 27 years old, in 1163, wrote a harsh letter in Judeo-Arabic called Igeret Hashmad, or Letter of Apostasy. And the goal of this letter was to refute the opinions of the rabbi and raise the morale of Spanish Jewry. The rabbi at this time was living in Fez, in Morocco. The rabbi writes that it is not incumbent upon a Jewish person to sacrifice his life not to convert to Islam, because conversion to Islam is purely a verbal declaration. Additionally, one who sins when he should martyr himself is not an apostate. There's no issue of hypocrisy for observing Judaism in private. Every mitzvah results in a reward, and it's best, he writes, to flee to countries that allow Jewish practice. This is the Rambam's perspective on martyrdom in his Mishnah Torah, and also regarding what was going on in his life at this time. in response to the Almohad conquest of Spain. What is the Ashkenazic response to martyrdom? So Rav Yitzchok ben Yosef of Corbeil, who lived in France in the 13th century, he is the author of a small book of mitzvos called Sefer Mitzvos Katan, the Smak. In Mitzvah Gimel, the third mitzvah, which is to love, to lehov shmo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chol lev, to love the name of God with all our heart, as the pasuk says, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'moldecha. And the Rambam in the Smak, in understanding what does it mean to love Hashem b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul. So the Rambam says that a person should not, he should not withhold from doing the mitzvos of God, even if it may bring danger to his life. And the Rambam and the Smak cites the Gemara in Sanhedrin, who says that when it comes to idolatry and sexual infidelity and murder, that even bitzina yeharg vayavar, even in private, better to be killed rather than violate one of these three sins. Usha'ar mitzvos bitzina, and when it comes to the other mitzvos, to do them in private, you can violate them and not be killed. Im yirtza, if you want. Very different than the Rambam. Rambam says you must violate. The Smak says you can if you want. Aval midas chasidus lo yavor. But it's an act of piety to submit to martyrdom even for other sins. And this is not only the ruling of the Smak, the Trumas Hadeshet, a first-rate posek in the 15th century in Germany, in Simon Kuf Tzarites, was asked this very question. He says, if someone wants to, someone puts a gun to your head, and he says, violate one of the mitzvot in the Torah, not one of the big three, but one of the other ones, and then he calls up his local Orthodox rabbi, and he says, what should I do? Should I violate the Torah, one of the mitzvos, or should I agree to die? What should I do? So the Trumas Hadeshen writes that it's a machlokas aposkin. It's a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam writes that you should not give up your life. You must violate you must commit the sin. And then he cites the Smak. The Smak says, Amidus Chasidus to be killed. And then he says, well, it seems, since it's a machloket, it's a debate, so we generally, in a case of a debate, we are lenient when it comes to sakanos nefashos. In cases of situations where there could be a danger to your life, so savek nefash lahakal, we have a debate, so we err on the side of being lenient when it comes to your life and trying to save your life, so we should say you should sin and not submit yourself to death. However, he writes, well, maybe not. Maybe when it comes to Kiddush Hashem, the whole mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem means you have to be willing to give up your life in order to sanctify Hashem's name. So you have to. So in this case, we may not follow the general rules of Safek Nefashos LaHakel. And so he says it depends. V'nira de lafiha inyan v'shiroin anu kavanaso morin lo. So he says it depends. In other words, he seems to say that maybe at times we will follow the Smak, that it's better to give up your life rather than violate one of the other mitzvos, not just the big three. And the Marami Rutenberg praises someone who dies al Kiddush Hashem. Now, there was a rabbi, Rav Menachem Merzberg, from Merzberg, and he lived in the 14th century, and he writes the following. Din mi sheshachad ishto bana bishas gzeira, someone who slaughtered his wife and his kids in times of religious persecution, ein lahachmir lav klal, we should not be strict on him at all. Kol shekein, certainly shadam rashi la rogat smal kiddush Hashem, certainly someone could is permitted to kill himself, not to commit suicide to sanctify God's name. Rav Yosef Cairo in Yoredei Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, he cites this. Rav Menachem Merzberg, he doesn't mention his name, he just says a Maisi Brav Echad. Well, he says a story of Rav Menachem Merzberg simply paskid this way, and the Rav Yosef Cairo in the Beis Yosef cites a story. But Rav Echad Sheshachat Tinokos, Har Baby Shasashmad, there's a rabbi who slaughtered many children in the times of religious persecution. Shiari Shiaviru Maldas. He was afraid that they would, that the enemy would convert the kids. And there was another rabbi, and he got angry at him, he called him a murderer. And the first rabbi didn't care about what the second rabbi said. And the rav who tried to prevent the first rabbi from killing these kids, to avoid them from submitting to idolatry. If I'm right, like this rabbi who killed these children so they wouldn't submit to idolatry, let this rabbi die in an unusual death. And so it was, that the non-Jews grabbed him, and they stripped his skin, and they placed sand between the skin and the flesh, and afterwards the decree was annulled. And had he not slaughtered these children, then Efshar Shahayu Nitzolim, it's possible they would have been saved, so they wouldn't have killed them. So the Rav Yosef Cairo obviously he's a Sephardi posek. He's very critical of this approach of this rabbi who killed other children so to avoid them from having to submit to idolatry. What's the source for this approach that maybe you could kill yourself rather than submit to idolatry, or may even kill someone else? So there is a Das Kenim Bali Tosfos comment in Parshas Noach, Perek Tes, Pasuk Hey. The Torah says, "Va'ach es dimchem lenafsho sechem edrosh." The Torah there, "Ach es dimchem lenafsho sechem edrosh." So this talks about that you're not allowed to commit murder or even kill yourself. But the Torah says, "Ach." Ach generally is an exclusion; it's a limitation. So what's the ach? So there's one opinion, and Daske and Bali Toso says that if you are afraid that you cannot withstand the test, in other words, you're supposed to, it seems that everyone agrees that if it's a time of religious persecution or if it's to submit to idolatry, you have to give up your life rather than commit worship idolatry. But if you believe that, but if you believe that you're not going to be able to submit to the pressure, so then Ach tells you that you're allowed to kill yourself in times of religious persecution so that you're not forced into worshiping idolatry. And the Das Kenim Bali Toso cites the story of Shaul ben Kish, who told his servant or his young man who was with him to kill him because he was afraid that he also wouldn't be able to handle the situation. Right, so Shaul, he didn't think he can handle the suffering, and so therefore he killed himself. That's according to Das Kenim Bali Tosfos. They bring Shaul's case as a proof also. Then they bring the story about the individual who killed the child in times of religious persecution, and then Das Kenim brings those who forbid it, and he brings the story that the Beis Yosef brings about the rabbi who killed the kids and in times of religious persecution, but he seemed to have been punished for doing that. But this could be the Torah source for the position of the Ashkenazi poskim, the word ach, meaning you're generally not allowed to commit suicide, but there's an exception. And what would the exception be? Potentially, if you can't handle, you won't be able to handle the suffering, you think you'd be forced to submit to one of the three cardinal sins, you might even be allowed to kill yourself. There's also a Tosos in Gittin, which basically says that as well, that it talks, it's based on the Gemara in Gittin, which tells a story about 400 boys and girls who are being sent away in ships to subject themselves to immorality, and they jump in the sea and they kill themselves. And Tosfos here says that we see from here that The Tosos here in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin Beis says that suicide is permitted when confronted with torture and apostasy. So basically, what you end up having, you have a Sephardic approach to martyrdom, is that either you must die if you're faced with the three cardinal sins, or if it's not one of the three cardinal sins, it's not in public and it's not at times of religious persecution, you have to you must violate the sin so as not to die. But even in a situation where you have to give up your life rather than commit the sin, suicide and certainly killing someone else is forbidden, even to prevent you from sinning. The Ashkenazi approach to martyrdom is that either you must die for the three cardinal sins, or you may violate the sin, but there's a midus chasidus to still die, even for other sins. And suicide, and maybe even killing others to avoid sin, is permitted according to some Ashkenazi poskim. The question is, who's right? Which approach is the natural outcome of Talmudic source, and which approach is forced? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Dalam and Aleph, which tells you, essentially, they decide in Lud that all averos in the Torah, if someone tells you, Avor v'al tarog, sin, don't be killed, Yavor v'al yareg, you should violate this, commit the sin, and don't be killed. Now, it doesn't mean Yavor means you can violate or you must violate. So that might be a debate between Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, maybe. It seems that on the surface, it never says in the Gemara that halachically you're allowed to kill yourself to avoid sinning. At the same time, even though the halacha seems to say, never says you're allowed to kill yourself, you're just allowed to be killed rather than sin. You have the stories. You have the story of the 400, the Gemara and Gittin, Daphne and Diamond Bays. You have the story of the 400 boys and girls who are forced to, or be taken on a boat. They're forced to sin, so they jump in the water and they commit suicide rather than submit themselves to immorality. There's also a story about a woman with her seven sons who are killed and then she kills herself. So there are some stories that may indicate that people committed suicide rather than submit themselves to sin. And you also have the story of Shaul, where he kills himself. The Yam Shel Shlomo and Rabbi Rav Goren, the modern day rabbi, so their reading of the story is that when one's captured by the enemy, would bring about a Chil Hashem, would allow the enemy to glorify itself. So then, and then at the end of the story, they would kill him anyway. Then it would be a mitzvah to commit suicide rather than fall into the hands of the enemy. That's how Rav Goren understands the story of Shaul. It seems that's the way Yam Shel Shlomo also understands the story of not Shlomo, Shaul. And Rav Goren said that he also cites the Masada story as well, that maybe for issues of Chil Hashem, you can also kill yourself. Now, maybe the story of Rabbi Akiva is the source for the Smak, who says it's a Midas Chasidus to die rather than not perform mitzvahs. Rabbi Akiva, you know, he refused to teach Torah. He continued to teach Torah, even though it meant that he was going to die. So maybe that was a story before Hesher, not clear. The Rabbi Kiva, famous the Gemara, he says, "V'hafta Shem Alkecha b'cholov chov nashu chol modecha." Rabbi Kiva said, "All my life, I wanted to know how I could love Hashem with all my soul. Ah, now I know how." So there might be an issue here of midas chasidus, Rabbi Akiva, to submit himself to give up his life. If it means that he has to teach, if he's commanded not to teach Torah, he's going to teach Torah even if it costs him his life. So that might be the source for Midas Chasidus to die al Kiddush Hashem, even when it doesn't come to the three cardinal sins. Now, in the First Crusade, there are these narratives, and I'll read a few of them to you, where they talk about, in times of the First Crusade, this is 1096, where Jews actually did this. This wasn't simply pasking halacha, are you allowed, you're not allowed, in theory, in the base medrash. This is actually happening in the time of the First Crusades. One of the Crusades narratives says the following. There was a certain young man named Meshulam ben Isaac. He called out loudly to all those standing there unto Zipporah, his helpmate. Listen to me, both great and small. The son God gave me, my wife Zipporah, bore him in her old age, and his name is Isaac. Now I shall offer him up, as did our ancestor Abraham with his son Isaac. Zipporah replied, my Lord, wait a bit. Do not stretch forth your hand against the lad whom I have raised and brought up, and whom I bore in my old age. Slaughter me first, that I not witness the death of the child. He then replied, I shall not delay even a moment. He who gave him to us will take him as his portion. He will place him in the bosom of Abraham, our ancestor. He then bound Isaac, his son, and took in his hand the knife with which to slaughter his son, and made the benediction for slaughtering. The lad answered, Amen. He then slaughtered the lad. He took his screaming wife. The two of them departed together from the chamber, and the crusaders killed them. So this is a story of a parent killing a child. Because what would the crusaders do? They would see that the they wanted to forcibly convert people, so people would commit suicide, and then they would say, okay, you know what? We will let the parents commit suicide, and then we will baptize their children. And the parents didn't want that, so they would kill their children, and they would kill themselves. Another narrative, First Crusade narrative, is called the Shlomo ben Samson ben Shimshon Chronicle. The translation of it, he came and closed the doors of the house upon himself and his children and his mother from all sides. The pious one asked his children, do you wish that I sacrifice you to our God? They said, do what you will with us. The saintly one responded and said, my children, our God is the true God and there is no other. Isaac the saintly one took two children, his son and his daughter, and led them through the courtyard at midnight and brought them to the synagogue before the holy ark, and slaughtered them there for the sanctification of the great name, the sublime and exalted God, who commanded us never to deny his awe and to cleave to his holy Torah with all our heart and with all our soul. He spilled their blood on the pillars of the holy ark, so that they would come as a memorial before the unique and everlasting King, and before the throne and his glory. He said, may this blood serve as atonement for all my sins. The pious one returned through the courtyard to the house of the ancestors and set fire to the house at its four corners. His mother remained in the house and was consumed by the fire for the sanctification of the divine name. The pious Isaac returned a second time to burn the synagogue. He lit a fire at all the entrances. The pious one went from corner to corner with his palms spread, the Lord from the midst of the fire in a loud and lively voice. The enemy called out to him through the windows, wicked man, escape the fire, you can still be saved. They extended to him a staff with which to pull him out of the fire, but the saintly one did not wish it. The blameless, upright, God-fearing man was there, consumed by fire. His soul is hidden in the portion of the saintly in paradise. On the 4th of Tammuz, on Thursday, the enemy gathered together against the saintly ones in order to torture them with great and terrible torture until they agreed to baptism. The matter became known to the pious ones. They confessed before their Creator, and they volunteered and chose for themselves five pious and saintly ones who would slaughter all the rest. There were approximately 300 souls, the aristocrats of the community of Cologne. They were all slaughtered, and there remained no one, for all of them died in purity for sanctification of the unique name. This is not simply describing a tragedy that takes place in the time of the Crusades. This is an idealistic picture of dying al Kiddush Hashem. There is something very holy about the way these deaths are described. And this type of praise and idealizing death continued after the era of the Tosafists. And I want to share with you one somewhat contemporary example from the Eish Kodesh, written by Rav Kolomis Kalman Shapira about Jews martyred in the Holocaust. He writes, he who is murdered in Kiddush Hashem does not suffer at all, since in achieving a high degree of ecstasy, he elevates all his senses to the realm of thought until the entire process is one of thought. He nullifies his senses and feelings, and his sense of the material dissolves in this process. Therefore, he feels nothing but pleasure. Now, Dr. Soloveitchik, that's Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, he believed that the Tosafists, who, I don't know if the word is lenient, but who felt that it was permitted to kill oneself rather than be baptized, and that I was even maybe even permitted to kill one's children in order to do so, he felt that they stretched the simple reading to adhere to cultural norms. He writes this in an article in the Jewish Quarterly Review, Volume 94, Number 1. He says, "The strange reasoning of the Tosafists on the subject of martyrdom does not, I contend, bear legal scrutiny. Both their justification of suicide and fearing one might yield to torture and apostatize, and their even more surprising defense of parents slaughtering infants to prevent them from being reared as Christians were post facto justifications of the conduct of Jewish communities during the First Crusade. To have ruled otherwise, the Tosafists would have had to conclude that the venerated martyrs of 1096, whose actions had been held up as an ideal of Jewish conduct in the time of persecution, were in reality suicides and murderers, and who should either be denied burial in a Jewish cemetery or be buried with criminals at its far end. This is a ridiculous, indeed impossible, conclusion for the Tosafist. It denied their deepest feelings and, more significantly, their deepest religious intuition. Any interpretation that would retain the lofty status of the Kedoshim, or holy ones, the martyrs were called, would prove far more persuasive to their minds than the straightforward reading of the law." In other words, Dr. Soloveitchik argues that the entire halachic discussion found in Maseches Sanhedrin, and that seems to say that you can't kill yourself to avoid idolatry. You can submit to death, but you can't actively take your own life. There is no discussion of suicide whatsoever, and you can't even prove from these cases definitively what Tosus wants to prove. Any of the cases in the Gemara which talks about people who killed themselves. The question is whether Dr. Soloveitchik is correct or incorrect, and that remains an open question. If Dr. Soloveitchik is correct, then the tragedy of Tisha B'Av is not simply the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, not simply the loss of sovereignty, not simply the loss of lives, but the tragedy of Tisha B'Av is that we got to a point in Jewish history when we were forced to glorify suicide and homicide in the name of religion. Unfortunately, we live in a world where radical Islamic groups believe in suicide and homicide in the name of religion, and we reject that. You can't kill someone for that purpose. And yet, on some level, we not only justified but praised suicide and even homicide, albeit with consent, in the name of religion, because we had no other choice. To glorify death is a chorban from which we suffer today. At the same time, if you disagree with this thesis, and there are scholars who have done so, if he's incorrect, then perhaps the message of the martyrdom of the Crusades is the mesiras nefesh, the passion, the love, the sacrifice for a higher ideal. How people giving up their lives for God didn't merely give up their lives, but they proudly give up their lives. They saw themselves as the descendants of Rabbi Akiva, yearning for the time when they could fill the mitzvah, v'ahavta l'shem elokecha b'chol nafshecha, in the sense of Avraham Avinu, who's even willing to slaughter his son Yitzchak in the name of God. And maybe we read these stories and ask ourselves, how much are we willing to sacrifice for God? How much do we complain about Judaism being a burden when we don't understand the unbelievable opportunities that we have now to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu freely, unencumbered, uninhibited, and we don't take advantage? Maybe we read the stories of the martyrs and ask ourselves on this day of Tisha B'Av, a day when we remember the tragedy, but also a day of tshuva, when we try to learn from the sins which led to the destruction, how can we see ourselves sacrificing for God, sacrificing for Torah mitzvot, realizing that growth does not come by an easy road, but only through constant sacrifice, lefum tzara agra. We gain more if we suffer more. Hopefully we can appreciate and experience this Tisha B'Av, trying to be inspired by the martyrs of the Crusades, to push ourselves more in the service of God with the hope that a greater passion and sacrifice can result in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash speedily in our days.